Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Black Hollywood. Welcome to Media Fury Radio. One furious hour, all the breaking news. Exclusive interviews, behind the scenes first looks, and Hollywood's insane stories. From the worlds of film, television, fashion, literature, and media. Now, here's Valerie.
I swear, every time I hear that applause, it sounds like fish cooking in deep grease. Anyway, hello. Welcome to Media Fury Radio. Happy holidays from Big Media Worldwide. We definitely love you to life. I want you to be safe. Enjoy your holidays, especially tomorrow, being that tomorrow is Christmas. People behind the scenes will understand why I just said that. Yeah, we are going on an official break, a nice little holiday break, and we will return officially on Wednesday, January the 3rd, 2019. Can you guys believe it? A new day. We're only days away from 2019. We're going to rock 2019, definitely going to do that. Definitely starting off with today's show, man. This guy is amazing. He definitely put the A in amazing. And I'm being a little corny today. I'm in a great mood, excellent mood, feeling very blessed and highly favored. Definitely. So like I said, we got a great person in the building and also a very good show, man. Taz Daddy, I just love saying his name. I'm going to take you on a little journey here first. I'm going to start with something. It's not going to make sense right now, but it will towards the middle of the show, somewhere around there, when I ask him about this audio clip. I'll see you guys on the other side. Guys, we're back. Oh, I'm really, really excited about what we are expected to do today, having a great time. I really hope, because I pressed that button twice, that it doesn't start playing like right in the middle of my intro. But that's what happens. I'll just edit it out. It's all good. It's cool. Yes, man, this guy, Dave, I swear, Taz Daddy, again, I told you, I absolutely love saying his name. He's a multi, best-selling author, business coach, and motivational speaker. Through his company, The Business Bully, LLC, he has helped hundreds of small and mid-sized businesses reach their full potential by making smart, calculated decisions that lead to massive profits and growth. I'm sorry, guys, I'm a little excited, so I need to calm down and chill. As a speaker, Dave has empowered over 1 million people from the stage. No stranger to hard work and controversy, he was the driving force behind the Ricky Smiley Morning Show, which is the clip you just heard. That show reached national syndication, and he also helped conceive an early version of Ricky's reality show. He's a very passionate person who will go the extra mile and over-deliver. His aggressive, unorthodox, in-your-face style has earned him the nickname the Business Bully. So right now, at this time, what I'd like to do is go on and open up his mic, hoping that my stuff on this side will play. Look at that. We're back in business. Welcome, Taz. How are you?
I'm very good. Oh, man, that's so funny. Most people don't call me Taz. Most people call me Dave nowadays, but it's all right. I'm not mad at you. How are you?
I actually set that up because I wanted you to do that. Yes, I told you in a really silly mood, holiday spirit. Yes. I set that up because I know I was listening to your Power 95 Rise and Grind Morning Show interview, and she started it out like that, and she's like, you know, in a sense, I'm making this, you know, I'm putting my own words to it, my own spin. But he's Taz Daddy, formerly known as Taz Daddy. He's now known as Dave Anderson, so I needed you to say that. And also, I needed my board to work, Mr. Anderson. That's another thing I like to say, Mr. Anderson, because I'm a big Matrix fan, right?
Yeah, so am I. Yeah.
Yeah, so again, in a silly mood. But I wanted that freaking thing to play because I wanted this to be your intro But I wanted you to come in and be like, girl, you tripping. You playing my intro. Let me see if it'll play. Hold on.
He's been an award-winning media personality and producer. As a speaker, he's empowered over 1 million people from the stage. Now one of the leading business coaches and brand experts is taking over the world of on-demand audio. It's the Business Bully Podcast.
See, it kind of killed my whole joke, and it doesn't fit anymore because the first clip kind of took its time playing. But you know what? Here at Big Media, we do not make mistakes. We just make memories. So I just keep right on rolling. Just like that didn't happen. But definitely, again, here's your applause. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, you told me some things behind the scenes. So, man, you just don't know. I'm really honored that you're here with me right now. I don't want to put your business out, but thank you so much for taking time out because you're doing something a little extreme in the background, so wow.
Yeah, I want to say thank you out loud. No, it's all good. I'm at the hospital getting some tests run. But I'm here. We're all right.
By the time listeners hear this, he will be a superhero again. Back at 1,000%. But yeah, I was going to call you stuff like Taz Daddy Y2K, Taz Daddy Xfinity. That thing just messed me all up. Let me get back in my moment. All right, so let's talk about what's been going on because, like I said, I was supposed to play the Ricky Smiley clip. It was a little bit hilarious, a little bit not so funny because it's the intro song. But I want to start off first saying some things because I want you to talk to our listening audience, because a lot of them are very, very young and vying to get into the entertainment industry. And I do want to, of course, get into some of the incredible lessons that you teach via your projects, your speaking engagements, and your books. But I want to start off with the valuable lessons that you learned from people such as Wendy Williams. I think it was DJ Clue, if my memory serves me correctly, but specifically Ricky Smiley. So let's start there.
All right, so we're starting with Ricky, huh? Woo wee, yeah, that was a journey, man. That was a lot. Like it was a process, man. Like I met Ricky originally in like year 2000. I was working in Fayetteville, North Carolina, as a DJ, and I had been doing stand up since at that point. I say 96, 97. So I was about 4 or 5 years in the game, and when I was doing afternoons at this radio station in North Carolina, they frowned upon their DJs doing stand-up, and Ricky was like, damn, man, I'll pay you out of my pocket. You come over for me. And so I opened for him, and I didn't see him for like 8 years. So I moved around the country. You know, I lived in 17 states, so I know better than most people how to pack a U-Haul. And I wound up in Dallas. You know, I was at a radio station in Dallas, and I was doing very well there. I was doing so well there that I got fired. I got fired because the guy that I was filling in for came back and they ran the numbers and he didn't like the fact that I came back better than him in the studies. People like me in his time thought better. So that became an issue. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't have two lions in the jungle. So I get fired and Doug Banks, radio icon, God rest his soul, Doug Banks, he actually called Radio 1 and got me an audition. So I went and auditioned across the street at Radio 1. They only had part-time stuff and production stuff for me. They said, but we want you to help out with the morning show. You know, you did really good with the morning show over there. Now, at this point, I'd already produced shows. I'd already produced DJ Clue. I'd already produced Wendy Williams. So for me, you know, I'm like, I'll do some light production. This is nothing. So then all of a sudden, that producer got fired. And, well, guess who came? He came up the bat ready to go. Young, rash, cocky, and hungry. Me. So I went in there and I had a lot of ideas. I was a bit much, I would say much, much younger than I am right now. I was like 28, 29. So, you know, when you're still in your 20s and you think that you run around the corner of 30, you really thought you were going to make your mark because 30's old, right? Wrong. But I went in there and I said, listen, we're going for syndication. And that's what we did. So, you know, we got in 30 markets, and then we kept pushing. By the time I left, it was, and it's still the fastest growing morning show in the country.
Yes, yes. Congratulations. I'm listening
Thank
to
you.
You, and I definitely hear a lot of less in you. You sound like young, cocky, hungry. I remember, yeah, that's part of your speech. He was one of my first mentors. I actually worked with him around the age of 19. He and him and Willie Jolly, I recently interviewed him, had a conversation. So we went back in time and talked about it. But, yeah, man, oh, my goodness. And then Doug Banks, that's another person, another common denominator. Do you need a second? Are you okay?
No, I'm good. Yeah, people are just walking by. That's going to happen. I'm in the hospital.
Oh. No, no, I just want to make sure. I want to take care of you. Love
on
you.
I'm good.
Cyber love, you know. So if you need a second, definitely let me know. I got Mr. Dickerson, and I think Maurice Duncan is in the building too. I see other people. I didn't publicize this, but I see other people are showing love. I appreciate you guys so much. I definitely do. Because of my listeners, let me just a brief pause for the cause. Because of my listeners, we now broadcast in over 11 different countries. So I appreciate them so much, and I have to love on them when I see them loving on me. But so let's get back to you. All of this and everything that you're about to say is definitely a testament for everything that you've sowed, and now you're reaping the rewards. And again, I told you behind the scenes, I pray you're in my life forever because I feel you spiritually. I feel like you're a blessing, and I appreciate the fact that you have given your lifeblood to be a blessing to many. So definitely big ups regarding that. Wow.
I
All right.
appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yes. So I want to, of course, move into current day, unless you have anything more that you'd like to say, because I could spend a lot of time on the life lessons that you learned from, you know, the icons, legends that you've worked with. You yourself are a legend. You know, the people, because you said a lot of things about Ricky Smiley, the fact that he taught you. Again, I'm getting all this from YouTube, guys. Go to his YouTube page, and you'll find all these delicious, you know, facts that I was able to obtain. But he talked to you about playing your position. I'd really like to start there because it is, again, a testament to your humble spirit. So, yeah, let's unpack that. What does play your position mean?
Okay, sometimes you can be the person who has the ability to come along and knock somebody out, but maybe you're not the knockout person. You know, maybe you're the person that's just supposed to hold the heavy bag. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you're not the person that is supposed to hold the heavy bag. Maybe you're supposed to be the bucket man. What if you're not the bucket man? Maybe you're the person that's supposed to handle the cut. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've got to be the cut man. But sometimes people, you know, they see the knockout man, they want to be the boxer, they want to be in that center ring, they want to toe-to-toe, but they haven't really got the cardio for it, but they have the strength. You know, you got to know what your position is. You have to know what it is that you do. See, everybody wants to be on the stage, but nobody talks about the people who build the stage. Like, when I wrestled professionally, the first thing that you have to learn to do before you even get in the ring is you have to learn how to build the ring. You have to learn where the turnbuckles go, how they work. You got to make sure the matting is correct. You know, so there's all these things that go into building a ring before anybody steps into a ring. And even though wrestling is choreographed, there's still real injury that can happen if you don't know step-by-step what's going on. So you have to understand the mechanics of the thing. And so you have to – so there was 6 weeks before I ever stepped foot, you know, in a wrestling ring. And then there was 6 weeks where all I did was take a bump. Now, taking a bump means that you just learn how to fall correctly so that you don't hurt yourself or become injury to others. You know, so that's the thing. Like, you got to know that there's a blessing in being in that position. Like, I played so many positions. Like, people used to laugh, like, oh, yeah, you're getting tea and bagels for Wendy Williams. I'm like, yeah. You know, but when it's all said and done, I was producing a show. So there is something to be said for service. There's something to be said for being in a servant's position, not always aspiring to stay there. But while you're there, you know, serve like you want somebody to serve you when you arrive, you know. And so that's what I mean to play your position. You know, everybody wants to be Michael, but some people got to be Tito.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I want to, wow, that was powerful, because that is the perfect segue to talk about, like I said, we're going to unpack your bio. Because there are a lot of things that you've accomplished since starting out, and you mentioned you're still very, very young, so it wasn't that long ago. I want to make sure I'm current. You completely retired from radio, correct?
Absolutely. And are you
still traveling about 40 weeks out of the year? How's your schedule looking nowadays?
Yeah, it's about that. I think between 30 and 40 weeks out of the year. You know, right now, of course, I'm shutting it down for the holidays, obviously. But yeah, I'm booked all over the world to speak, which is great. You know, don't necessarily like the airports, but I love being on stage. I love impacting people. I love empowering folks. So, you know, that's part of what I do. But speaking is such a small part of what I do every day now. You know, I spend time helping entrepreneurs, authors, coaches, speakers double their revenue, grow their businesses, you know, and really take what they have from potential to something that they can actually call tangible. You know, so I'm excited every day that I wake up. But, yeah, I've been retired since December of 2011. Yeah, 2011, December 2011. So I haven't looked back.
Yeah, again, congratulations. And then it also lists that you own a few businesses. Would you like to bring us up to date? What are those businesses?
Oh, wow, of course. Well, I run the Business Bully LLC, and under that there are several different businesses. The Business Bully LLC is, like I said, it's a coaching marketing firm where we work with entrepreneurs one-on-one, go through my team, my boot camp, and we literally just take your business from potential to tangible. Aside from that, we also do a lot of different really cool things. Like, I own and operate the Black Podcast Hall of Fame, simply because a lot of people don't know this, but I am, you know, a father of what you would call modern podcasting. Before Steve Jobs created iTunes, you know, I was putting out what we call on-demand audio. So that was like in 1997, 1998. And we would take, you know, my show. I would do like a mix show, and I'd play like the hottest records and have really good interviews. Everybody, Russell Simmons, Will Smith, Lost, but I had all types of different interviews, you know, and I would do an actual radio show, and people would download it to their MP3 players because iPods weren't invented yet. And what wound up happening was that people were like, oh, no, we're going to focus on satellite. I got laughed out of so many rooms when it came to like traditional radio conferences. They all said, no, that's never going to work. Kid, you're crazy. You don't know anything about the industry. Terrestrial radio is stronger than ever. You know, satellite's going to be big. You know, da-da-da-da-da. And, well, now you look, everybody and their mother has a podcast, including the terrestrial radio giant. You know, so one thing that I did notice is that podcasting got very, very whitewashed very, very quickly. And so people who are pioneers and are legends in the game of podcasting and of on-demand audio weren't getting the accolades they decided to get, so I created the Black Podcasters Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'm trying to keep up with you, but I'm taking notes, and I'm just getting lost. I mean, gosh, you're a blessing. I really appreciate that. I want to put you on the spot for a second. I'm going to read just a little bit. I'm going to keep going back to the website, of course, because I really want people to have a great understanding of, you know, who you are. I definitely want to encourage them to go. The website is, people, for everybody who's listening, you know that when you're with me, you have to have your non-alcoholic libations, your pen and your paper. So write this down. BusinessBullyShow.com is where I'm at. That's the website I'm referencing as I speak. BusinessBullyShow.com. And right now I'm reading from the speaking link, that portion. It says, contact Dave to book this prolific Philadelphia motivational speaker for your next event. He is one of the world's most renowned inspirational speakers who has delivered encouragement from the stage to many groups, including corporate sales teams and sports teams. He will definitely motivate and encourage your group through the power of the spoken word. Power of the spoken word. You had something in one of your interviews. I think it was called The Theory of 20 Seconds. Did I say that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically.
So
I'm sorry.
I wanted to put you on the spot and give me your 20-second elevator pitch, and then I wanted you to explain it.
Okay, no problem. Let me know when I can go.
All right, I'm ready. I'm timing you. Go.
All right. So my name is Dave Anderson. I'm an author, speaker, motivational coach. I'm also the person that helped invent the podcast. I have impacted the careers of Ricky Smiley, Wendy Williams, DJ Pooh, and countless others. I've spoken to over a million people from the stage, and I help everyone take their potential and turn it into tangible cash. So let's get to work. Simple, easy, 1, 2, 3. Who are you? What do you have? Why should I care? I think that was about 17 seconds. I could have given you 3 more.
Yeah, it was exactly that. Yeah, it was exactly that. I want to ask you, me doing this, do you feel weird, like, because I know you're at the hospital, you feel weird with these questions I'm asking, like, was that okay? Are you comfortable?
No.
Are we good?
Okay, I'm always comfortable. Awesome. See, the thing of it is, I'm always in a state of preparedness. You know,
gotcha.
I'm always waiting to see what's next. That way, you know, if you're already on your toes and you're already looking for the hit, you're not surprised. You're already ready to duck and swing.
Right. The whole stay ready, you ain't got to get ready policy, right?
So I live.
So I wanted to ask you a couple things again before we get to the book. Do you still wear the jacket? I think you were part of an interview and had on a jacket had a bunch of sponsors on it. I thought that was really cool. Do you still do that?
Yeah, sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. It just depends. Like right now, I'm just wearing a hoodie and some jeans and some Timberland. But yeah, you know,
okay.
The thing of it is, I noticed that people a lot of times take themselves way too seriously. You know, unless you're a doctor or you know, a construction worker, firefighter, policeman, like then you have a uniform. But wearing a suit and tie was never my thing. And I always was fascinated with NASCAR. I always thought NASCAR was really, really dope. And I actually got to drive on Texas Motor Speedway before a big NASCAR race. And I would look, you know, at like Jimmy Johnson and Dale Jr., and I would look at all the patches that they had from all these different sponsors. And I'm like, wow, what if somebody did that for black businesses? And so when I got the call to come do the Breakfast Club, I took a bunch of sponsors with me, you know. And, you know, it's just one of those things, man. I like to be different. I don't want to be like everybody else. I think that that's my strength. I don't want to look like everybody else. I don't want to sound like everybody else. You know, I want to be noticed in a way that's impactful, you know, to make people ask questions. Because once people ask questions, then there's a dialogue. And when there's a dialogue, then there's some growth. And when there's growth, now that's progress and change. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you change the world.
Right, yeah. But you're known for things such as that because I think in one of the interviews I heard you say sometimes you would deliver, like, your memorabilia with, like, a pizza. You know, you had all these unique ways that you would you'd get their attention. And do you still carry around the flash drives, being that now we're kind of, like, you know, putting our two phones together? I forgot what you call that. But I do it all the time. And I even got the little QR codes or something. But yeah, do you still carry flash drives around?
Well, the good news is for me right now, I've gotten to a place in my career where most places I don't need to because, A, I'm not auditioning for a job because my business, you know, I've helped my clients do about $27 million in business this year. The other part of it is, it's really cool, is that wherever I go, most people know to find a guy.
Dave, are you there? Hello? Dave, I think you're breaking up. I'm not sure. I don't hear you. All right. I'm not sure if we lost him. So at this time, I will make use of my time and let's see hold on just a second. All right, so 985 Raymond Dickerson, hopefully he'll call us back and I'm going to open up Maurice. I don't know the other numbers, but you guys are live. Welcome to the show, Maurice Duncan and Raymond Dickerson. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. Yes. Hey, Maurice, are you there with us? Are you there? All right.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey. We are right now Oh my goodness, I'm supposed to be in class with what's going on right now, and I'm actually airing, doing a pre-record. So I didn't mean to say that because we're actually going to play this Christmas Day. But anyway, have you guys, what have you guys gotten from the interview? Anything that you'd like to share?
I've known Mr. Anderson for like a lot, at least since the beginning of the year. And, you know, from the information that I got from him and the due diligence I've had, man, he's been in the game a long time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, when I always told him, man, the best thing he should do is start doing, like, motivational speaking, man, because the stuff that he promotes, man, is just be astounding on how he, you know, gets people hyped up. And if you ever get a chance, check out both of those Breakfast Club interviews that he had, man. It's just like you couldn't believe a dude like that could really throw that much strong game out there like that. But
mm-hmm.
I've been a fan of Dave for a good minute.
Yeah, I read his stuff and I immediately became a fan. Definitely powerful person. What about you, Mr. Dickerson?
Well, as I was listening to him, I understood that what I took from his conversation is that, first of all, success is never gained through the path of least resistance, and to know your business from the ground up. You don't necessarily have to be the king if you're the kingmaker. Even with in presidential grassroots campaigns, without David Axelrod, David Plouffe, who were behind the scenes bringing in the social media to support Barack Obama, we would not have had him as the president. So what I was listening when he was telling me about it, well, talking about his story of being a wrestler, know all the technical aspects of whatever you're going to get into before you want to get in the spotlight, get behind the scenes, and learn the business as well as you can.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right, so we've got Mr. Anderson. He's back. He's back with us. Mr. Anderson, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you so much for calling back in. I appreciate you.
No problem.
So yeah, you were telling us how you went from Flash Drive to being Flash the Superhero.
Yeah, you know, the thing of it is, you know, I wanted to put myself in a position to win. You know, and I realized I couldn't do that working for anybody else, you know. And for me, I noticed throughout my radio career that I was always helping, like, the salespeople close deals. I was always coming up with creative campaigns, and I wasn't in promotions. And I realized if I just harnessed those talents, then I could do whatever I really wanted to do. And I realized that there were so many people out here that are just missing out on their opportunity to grow their businesses organically, that, you know, I started my agency. You know, we're also launching a publishing company in 2019, so I'm excited about that. And then, of
mm-hmm.
course, you know, we do a lot of live events. I have BullyCon, which is an event for entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, coaches, just to get in the room with, you know, really good accountants, lawyers, and different types of people in business that are essential to your business. You know, so, you know, we're
mm-hmm.
rocking and rolling, but there's always a grind. There's always a level. I don't, you know, and even at this level, it's funny. Like, I said to myself, if I could just get to six figures, if I could just get to six
mm-hmm.
figures, then all my problems will be solved. And then when I got to six figures, I realized, well, man. You know, cause, you know, there's this guy named Gary Vaynerchuk, and he's worth $500 million. And I'm like, I'm not even there yet, you know.
Right.
He's like, how you doing, Dave?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm good. I'm like, I got $496 million to go before I catch you.
Yes, guys. Again, we're talking to Dave Anderson. Please visit his website, businessbullyshow.com, businessbullyshow.com. And on there you'll find a plethora of ways to connect with him. He's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, and so much more. All right, so let's move to the book, because I have so many things I definitely want to ask you. When I listened mm-hmm. to the interview, at that time. Now I'm learning I needed to look at the date of the interview so I'd be more current. But you were number one in just, well, I won't say just, that's a huge accomplishment, but three countries at that time. I think it was like India,
yeah.
Of course, the United States, and then there was another. But how
Australia.
Many countries now? Australia, that's it, because you said, g'day, mate. Yeah, I remember now. Right.
Yeah, no. So, Pitch Close Upsell Repeat has been number one in the UK. It's been number one in Australia. It's been number one in Iraq. It's been number one in the United Arab Emirates. You know, like, we've done very, very well. You know, in America, it's outsold, like, since it's been out, it has outsold The Art of the Deal by Donald Trump, three Cardone's books.
Right.
So, you know, I'm really thankful for that. And I think because I just took a practical approach to sales and I demystified it and I didn't make it all hokey or weird sounding, that people gravitated towards the messages. And so I'm eternally grateful for that.
Definitely. And you sort of kind of answered my next question, because I was going to ask you, why should people buy your book? And that's it, because it is practical. Because you use your lifeblood as your research. And so you just pretty much walk them through your process and use that to advertise, because I think I heard you say a lot of people are afraid to advertise. Can you tell us why? Because I get on people all the time about spending money on their advertisement. Hint, 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 Mr. Dickerson. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Here's the thing,
why,
right?
Why is it important to advertise?
It is very important to advertise. You know, the thing of it is, do you know your audience well enough to make sure that you're hitting the right places? Because a lot of people do a lot of trendy stuff, and they don't really know what they're doing, or they'll you know, blow their wad on Facebook ads and don't have the right targeting. I think it is extremely important to know who your target audience is. And, you know, I spent, like, honestly, I think this year I probably spent maybe $55 on advertising. That's about it. I don't spend a lot of money on ads.
When you, okay, you said ads. Okay. So when you first started, as it relates to, like, you know, getting your brand out there, advertising, because we talked about the jacket, how much is a jacket? I'm very interested in this, definitely. How much is a jacket to, like, put the sponsors and stuff on it so I can look like a I won't say a NASCAR girl, but something like that?
I charged businesses, I think, like, between $300 and $500 a patch, depending on where the patch was placed. You know, because there's certain places that the camera will hit and there's certain places the camera won't hit.
I love that. Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, so I hold on 1 second. Is that okay? Okay. I'm sorry, they're working on me, so forgive me. But there's certain places that, it will hit and certain places it won't hit. And so I knew for me it was a situation where I wanted to be impactful and take advantage of that. But I'm a huge believer in organic advertising. If, A, you have the personality to pull it off, and B, what you have is so compelling and so dialed in that you know who your people are and what they expect from you. Not everybody can do that, but that's what I teach my my clients and coaches, you know, how to grow their business without really spending a dime on advertising. Is advertising important? Absolutely. Once you've established who your audience is and you've got a clear definition of who they are, because I'll put it to you this way. When I retired, I thought I was just going to speak to young people. I'm like, I'm just going to be a youth speaker. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on youth. And, you know, my average client is, you know, women between, I would say, 25 and 54. Not exactly the youth market. You know, and so your audience will tell you who they are, and they'll show up for you. And when they show up, then that's when you start to target. You know, but a lot of people, like, well, they go by what they think their audience is as opposed to what their audience actually is. But, yeah, advertising is extremely important once you've established your audience.
Right. And then okay, so you're saying audience. How does that lend itself to the brand? Because one thing that you said that I wrote real big on my paper because I work with a lot of people in the music industry as well as people in the sports industry. So quite often my whole thing is they call it show business for a reason, because it's business. And it's not just a show. You know, you got to show up. You're not just the performance, not just the show me part. But you said something that I wrote at the top of my paper, and that was show feeling. Can you explain that? I have notes, but I just want you to explain the difference between show feelings and show business.
Okay. So show feelings is like, oh, well, I think that because I'm this wonderful, bright, happy person, that everyone should love me. Show business is, I'm a bright, happy person that everybody should love. Now let me show them why.
Right.
You know, it's a very distinct thing. Like, anybody can be bright and bubbly, you know, but you take somebody like, let's say, a Christian Chenoweth, who is not only bright and bubbly but can sing, but she performs in such a way that, you know, people automatically gravitate towards her. It's not just her bright and bubbly personality. It's the fact that she has talent and she shows up and she resonates with a certain audience. You know, there are plenty of kids on the corner who can out-sing Chris Brown, but are they filling up stadiums?
Mm-hmm.
Now the question then becomes, well, how do you fill up a stadium? Well, the reason you fill up a stadium is, first, you got to fill up your living room. Then you got to fill up the street corner. Then you got to fill up an auditorium. Then you got to fill up a small arena. Then you get to the big arenas. But see, everybody wants to go from their living room in the or from the shower to the stadium, and that's not how that works. There's a progression there. There are levels. Most people fail not because they don't have the talent. Most people fail not because they don't have the business. Most people fail because they lack consistency. I might not be the best looking guy, even though I'm pretty damn good looking. I might not be the best in shape guy, but I guarantee you, I will beat you on consistency every day of the week. For example, I got hit by a car last week. I'm in the hospital now getting some tests done, and I'm still doing my job. My job is to show up for you, to show up for the people who need to hear my voice, you know? And the other part of it is, you got to turn your hand around. And what I mean by that, quite simply, is so many people have their hand out looking for something instead of pulling their hand back, reaching into their pockets and giving something. Like, I'm constantly giving away information. Like, you're not going to outgive me. Like, I will tell you exactly what to do. And people are like, well, isn't that counterproductive? And I'm like, no, it's not. Here's what I know about information. What do you know about drinking and driving?
That's a question. What do I know?
Yeah, what do you know about drinking and driving? Is it good for you? You shouldn't do it, okay? What do you know about smoking?
Exactly.
What do you know about smoking?
Yeah, that is not good for you.
Okay.
It's bad for
what
you.
Do you know?
Bad for your teeth, lung, and aging.
Yeah. Now, what do you know about saturated fat?
Good for you either.
All right. But yet and still, we got fat people, we got smokers, and we got people who drink and drive. Why? Information is not enough. Knowing something is half the battle. G.I. Joe told you that. Here's the other half. Acting on the information. Knowing how to implement the information. I don't make my money from information, because that's what Google's for. Google's got the market cornered on information. I make my money because I am the best implementer on this planet. And I show people how to implement the information. Information's everywhere. You know, you find an implementer, you find a connector, you found somebody who's making some money.
Now, I want to backtrack just a little bit, because, see, I'm on your site. Very beautiful site. Definitely want to say that to you, that I'm very big on that. The one thing I want to make clear, because, like I said, we have a very young audience, so I want to make sure that they hear this. When you first started out branding, let's talk just a tad bit about that. We won't spend too much time on it. But branding yourself. Normally when a campaign comes out, you see them, they're plastered everywhere. What is the importance of that as it relates to what you just said? Because, again, branding is great. You got to make sure you force people to act on it and not just look at it, oh, that's just pretty, that's great, I see them everywhere, but they never go and buy, sell, support, whatever. So can we start there?
All right, let's talk about that. Sometimes people want to be seen, And if that's your goal, take care, comb your hair. I'm not going to hold you. But I will tell you this. It's not enough to be seen without impact. You know? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to be seen without impact. You need to be able to be impactful to people. Here's what I mean. There are four symbols in the world that are so impactful that people who can't even read know what they are. And in ranking order, they are this. There is the crucifix, meaning the Christian cross. There is the Star of David. There is the Kryptonian symbol of hope, better known as the S on Superman's chest. And the fourth symbol is the golden arches. Those are the top four symbols. And by golden arches, I mean the McDonald's golden arches. So even if you can't read, you know what those golden arches are. I have a three-year-old. She can read, but even before she could, she knew what McDonald's was just by those golden
mm-hmm.
arches. Do you know,
mm-hmm.
out of everything, I just named two of which are religions, the other one is basically a cult following. People love Superman. I love Superman so much, my wedding ring is a Superman ring. It's made of titanium. The fourth is the only business that is in the top 10 of recognizable symbols. Here's the reason. Not only does McDonald's sell billions and billions of hamburgers, but they average, on average, they advertise about 38,000 times a day. So somewhere in the world, there's a McDonald's ad playing right now. Now, if McDonald's is the number one fast food chain and basically created what we now know as a fast food model, and everybody knows them, why do they continue to advertise?
Yeah,
because they want to have top of mind awareness. See, anybody can be the champ. Being the champion is
mm-hmm.
easy. Staying the champion, that takes consistency and dedication. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of people just want to get there. Like I hear a lot of people say, oh, you know, especially in the mm-hmm. music industry, oh, I just want to get signed. And I'm like, you're never going to make it. I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to get a record deal. Okay, you can get a record deal, but will you have a career? You know, Craig Mack said in 92, you won't be around next year. You know, and he was telling people straight up and down, like, it's not enough to get signed. It's to make hits, to have a fan base, to cultivate that fan base, to nurture that fan base. You know, so if you want to be seen, that's great. But if you want to be an icon, you've got to be impactful. People have to hang off your every word. People have to love what you do. I don't care if you're selling ribs, you know, or, you know, rapping on records. You have to make people feel you.
Right.
Sure, no problem.
I think I just want to make sure that people really understand, you know, what's happening during this conversation. The very first thing that needs to be known and people have to have a true understanding of, before you get started, you really need to know yourself. You got to know yourself
mm-hmm.
so that you, in knowing yourself, you know your audience. And then that's when
mm-hmm.
your marketing will make sense, because then you'll know what the proper branding in order to lend itself, that will lend itself and be impactful and speak to that niche market. Because too many of us, like you said, will go out and we'll just buy a whole bunch of stuff and then quickly find out we wasted a bunch of money because, number one, it wasn't representative of our brand. We didn't know who we were when we first started. We didn't really have a clear idea, you know, what it is that we wanted to do. And so, you know, you spend a lot of time doing a lot of nothing. You know what I'm saying? Fueling a passion, but fueling it the wrong way. It's sort of like putting in, you know, putting gas into it. What you call these new Teslas, you know, a different kind of car.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yes, it's the right operation, but, you know, just the wrong method, you know, to do that. And so to you, I wanted to ask, because I'm learning a lot from you. You give away a lot of stuff for free. I mean, literally, you're very transparent. You seem like a very humble guy. I mean, you're very encouraging, just always wonderful, beautiful adjectives. Where did you get the name Business Bully? Like, I guess it's synonymous with something negative, but you have somehow or another found a way to make it beautiful.
Yeah, let's talk about this for a minute. So I'm going to give you the short version of the story, and I'm going to give you the full version of the story, and there's a reason. the short version of the story is somebody didn't like something I said on Facebook. And so they decided to get in the comments and say, well, Dave Anderson, you're a business bully. And I said, trademark, and I called my attorney. The next thing was I realized very early on that we live in a society that rewards mediocrity. Billy is third string. Sure, take your time. Little Billy is third string on his baseball team, let's say, right? And there's Johnny, who is first string on his baseball team. And Johnny and Billy get the same size trophy, even though Johnny's the one doing all the work, fielding all the hits. No. But that's what we do. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody's got to get along. Everybody's politically correct. Everybody, you know, needs to be diddled. Everybody needs to be coddled. Everybody needs to feel safe, like they have a safe space. And let me tell you something. That's not the way the world works. The world rewards people who make it happen. And people who watch it happen are the people in the audience. And that's fine, being in the audience, if that's what you want to be. But don't sit up here and say that, you know, you're a performer when in all actuality, you're more of a spectator. You know, mm-hmm. And that's the thing.
Right. While she's doing that again, I'm going to push the book, Pitch, Close, Upsell, Repeat. That's the book. I need you to go to the website, businessbullyshow.com. The book, like you said, is the number one bestseller everywhere. So we definitely want to make sure we show love and support. So please make sure you go to the site to do that. Contact him. You can book him from the site. You can learn a lot. And I'm going to be quiet and let, I don't know, do you need more time?
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm just changing right now. So you're fine.
Okay.
I can talk. I got a headset.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, so,
all right.
You know, I mean, the point of it is, like, the fact that accountability now comes across as bullying, when I hold people's feet to the fire, like, I don't hold people to a standard that I set. I hold them to the standard that they set for themselves.
Wow.
Say,
hey,
well,
say that again. Please say that again.
Yeah, I don't hold people to the standard that I set. I hold them to the standard that they hold for themselves. You know, like there are people who say, hey, I want to go out here and have a six-figure business doing whatever it is. And I'll say, okay, cool. Let's talk about that. And I'll start asking them, hey, how many people are on your email list? Oh, well, we got one, but we da 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 da. And I'm like, see, well, you don't want it. You just say you do. And they're like, no, I do. And I'm like, no, if you're not communicating with your audience, you don't want that audience and you don't deserve that audience. You know, like I'm constantly communicating. I'm texting my audience. I'm podcasting. I'm YouTubing. I'm growing my audience by being on great shows like yours. You know, I'm coaching people constantly. I'm putting myself in a position. You want to know why? Because I don't want to die. But I know I'm going to. And the only way for me to have a legacy, aside from having more children, is to impact the world by impacting as many people as I possibly can. And that takes some doing. That takes some effort. And people say they want it. Like, everybody wants to go to heaven, my friend. But no one wants to die to get there. And that's the thing. Everybody wants to sit in the winner's circle, but nobody wants to run that race. Everybody wants to, you know, wants to wear the championship belt, but nobody wants to take a hit. Everybody wants all the glory, but none of the guts. And so when you come to me and I'm telling you, hey, this is what it is, you know, this is what it takes. And then you want to argue me about the merits of what it takes, but your bank account looks like a temperature or a shoe size. You know, then we've got a failure. We've got a failure to communicate. And that's the thing. So that's what the whole business bully thing is about.
Now, I had you repeat that, of course, as a play on your book. but I had you repeat that because it's a double-edged sword for a woman and a black woman. I'm not playing a race card or sex card. I'm just saying that a lot of times, especially me, in the entertainment industry, a lot of times you when I work in a male-dominated industry, I have to make sure that I dot every T, no, I dot every I. Like, what is it? Cross every T, dot every I.
You dot every I, cross every T, yep.
Yeah, and then in doing so, being that I'm also, too, Miss Jones's daughter, you know, I wear my heart on my sleeves a lot, and I found that quite often I was dreaming harder than the people I worked with. So not only was I working hard, but because I wanted it so bad for myself and for them, it was like, oh, my goodness. You know, they didn't understand why I was demanding that whatever they agreed to, not what I wanted for them, but what they agreed to, that I took it, you know, literally. I'm like, look, I don't have time to play. And it just, sometimes I need to work on my delivery, I know, because I realize in having a conversation yesterday with someone, I realized that a lot of times, you know, women, our words cut. You know, we cut a little deeper. So we need to learn to be a little more timid, a little more, you know, just a little softer, you know, as it relates to, you know, our verbiage and how we deliver stuff. But, I mean, I really mean it. It's not aggression. It's passion. You know what I mean? I really want to see them win. And I really value my time at the same time. So it's like when you're trying to accomplish that goal, I'm trying to figure out, you know, how to show them how much I love them to life, but also, too, if you don't ride, you don't grind with me, I don't want you shining with me, because we're just wasting each other's time, you know, somewhere along the line. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe in free rides, but I want you to also work for what you truly believe in, what you want, and don't sit and wait for me to do it because they call me a consultant or, you know, that's my job, you paid me or something. Appreciate you for saying that. Did you want to say something to that, or did I stop you?
Yeah, I mean, I think no, you're fine. I think that, you know, I have two daughters, you know, and the reason that I work so hard is not for them to have things. I work so hard so that I don't become a hypocrite. I can't tell my two daughters that they can break any glass ceiling and do whatever they can do, you know, without first acknowledging the fact that I do have a certain level of male privilege, even though it's not much because I am a black male. And I'll get into that in a second. But, you know, I acknowledge the fact that, you know, this world hates black women, abhors them, does not protect them, does not seek to give them any type of quarter or shelter, you know. And so I believe the difference between a father and a mother is that a mother is supposed to nurture and protect. The father is supposed to protect but also provide, and provide goes deeper than just providing financial things. I am a microcosm of how the real world works. So there's not a whole lot of cupcaking around me. There's not a whole lot of whining. Like, you know, we ain't got time for that. You know, it's time to work. Like, you want something, you go get it. This is where it is. This is what you got to do. Go get it. And that's, you know, that's the long and short of it. You know, you're doing your daughter's the service to coddle them, you know, and that's, you know, kind of where I am, you know, on that spectrum. I think it's extremely important that we are honest and real about, you know, how we treat our girls, you know, and it's very important to me that, you know, my daughters know that they can do it, but it's going to take a whole lot of hard work. And, oh, just because you're Dave Anderson's daughter doesn't mean you won't get a free ride. Oh, you're going to get this work all day, every
right.
day.
Definitely. Right. I'm glad you said that out loud, because I say that a lot of the times. I feel like black women are just kind of left to fend for themselves too often. And it's sometimes, you know, sometimes when I talk, I'm like, God, I feel really lonely. And that's because you don't always know how to express yourself without being misunderstood. And then for some time that became my brand, M-I-S-S, understood. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, it was a play on words, you know, either you understood me or you didn't, or you misunderstood me completely. But, yeah, well, I appreciate and applaud you for saying that. I guess at this time, because we're down to the last 30 minutes or so of this interview, I want to touch back and check with Mr. Dickerson and Mr. Duncan to see if they have any more questions before I proceed. Guys, you're live. And if you've got anything you'd like to say to Mr. Anderson at this time, I do see other people on the board. Since you're here, if you want to press the number one, you're very welcome to do so. But do you, Mr. Dickerson or Mr. Duncan, all these D's, have anything to say? Dickerson,
yes,
Duncan, and Dave.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes, sir.
Oh, yes.
Hi.
I was just listening to Mr. Anderson, and he embodies so much of what I believe in. Just being there, going through the medical procedure that he's going through and giving this interview shows his level of commitment, conviction, and his strong belief in what he's saying and his compassion. He wants to share it with the audience. But he also said, let me know that success is not necessarily gained just by how talented you are, but by how ambitious you are. And I'm taking that, you know, it takes a certain level of ambition to get you to where you need to get in this particular, whatever particular industry or whatever particular venture you're seeking to advance in. So that's what I'm taking so far from the conversation. If Mr. Duncan wants to harp in, he's free to harp in right now.
Mr. Duncan? You might be on mute. Take yourself off mute if you are. All right. I know he multitasks quite a bit, but I did want to make sure that I gave him an opportunity to speak. Mr. Anderson, do you have anything you'd like to say to what Mr. Dickerson said?
Well, I definitely, yes, sir. I definitely appreciate it, and you know, I'm very ambitious sometimes to my own detriment, but you know, it's a part of who I am, and I can't necessarily change that. Okay. They have to let me go in a minute, so I'm going to be quick. But I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. It took me 25 years to figure out who I was. Because, you know, from the time I was 9 to the time I was 34, I was whoever the program directors wanted me to be. I was whoever they thought the audience or the sponsors wanted me to be. It's not until I retired and realized that I am great on my own that I figured out who I really am and who I already wanted to be, like the person that I truly am on the inside. So, you know, I'm blessed with that, you know, and I'm excited. Also, I wanted to say something, if it's okay. If you'd like to have the opportunity to work with me and my team to help you start, grow, or build your business, head over to bit.ly/bullygrowth, just like it sounds, all lowercase, all one word, bit.ly/bullygrowth. There's a free training there where we talk about all these tips and tricks and strategies and hacks in order to start and grow your business organically without paying a dime in ads. A lot of people just don't have the money coming up. You know, and, you know, even if they're just trying to save money because they've only got $10,000, $20,000 to really work on their business, this way they have some tips and some tools. And if they dig that and they would like to take a call with us and see how we can work together to help them grow their business, then we're happy to do so.
Definitely. And can you go on, just in case we lose you, give out your social media links so that people can love on you? Mr. Anderson?
Anything else?
1 second. All right. Well, I am actually on the website, so while we're taking a pause for the cause, Pitch, Close, Upsell, Repeat. It's the name of the book by Mr. David Anderson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you available now?
Yeah, so definitely get the book. I got two minutes before they shut me down. But, yeah, please get the book. You know, I tell people all the time the book will change your life. And, of course, like I said, if you want to grab that free training on just how to do some organic growth strategies, go to bit.ly/bullycall. It would be a great situation.
Okay. All right. And thank you for that. And I want to make sure we definitely go on and give you an applause. I definitely applaud you for taking time out of your very busy schedule. That's obvious. You know, to be with us. I appreciate you so much.
Right.
Any final words, anything that you'd like to say to the audience, anything that they could grow on, anything you want to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, really quick before I go, because they're about to start choking me out in here. Greatness is not achieved by putting your dreams in the microwave and hitting high. Like, that's not how it works. You got to be consistent. You got to be dedicated, and you've got to make sure you manage your time. More growth strategies are available at bit.ly/bullygrowth, and I thank you for the opportunity for me to be here. It really means a lot to me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And blessings. Please keep us posted as to your progression. Let us know what happened. Today we want to make sure we, you know, keep you in our prayers and that you'll be okay, because we want you playing Santa Claus for those beautiful girls you got over there at the house. But
amen.
Thank you again. Please say thank you to your wife for lending us to you for this time you spent with us. So happy holidays and have a great day. Appreciate you.
Happy holidays. Take care. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right, so Raymond and Mr. Duncan, I'd like to talk to you guys, but first what I want to do is I want to go back to the website. Again, the title of the book is Pitch, Close, Upsell, Repeat. It's a practical guide to sales dominance. Pitch, Close, Upsell, Repeat is designed to help even the most timid individual approach sales and business as a game to be played with passion, intensity, and fun. You can go to the book, get the book. There's a download. You can download samples from there. There are great pointers on the site for ways that you can utilize what's in the book, and then also some simplified principles that you can definitely grow on. It just talks about a bunch of stuff. There's other things on there I want you to look at, some behind-the-scenes interviews, so that you can get a look at that jacket I just told you about, the jacket that has all those sponsors on it. Because here's my point. I consult a bunch of people, right? I produce a bunch of shows, and I'm still, you know, saying it as well. There's a very big difference between branding and advertising. Branding and advertising, very, very big difference. The common denominator is knowing who you're talking to, knowing yourself, knowing how to address your niche market, because you don't want to advertise to everybody. You want to speak to the few that speak to you. And why did I say that? Not just because it rhymes, but you don't want to be targeting people who you're like, man, I hate that they wear my clothes or they read my book or whatever. You know, it's like kind of like lowering the brand, so to speak. I'm going to give you a very bad example here, just for the sake of time, and then I'm going to get back to the callers. A bad example would be, once upon a time, there was a man named Tommy Hilfiger, right? Tommy Hilfiger is a big, huge brand, right? And a lot of rappers started wearing his stuff and rapping about his brand. They were wearing his shirts, talking about him, Tommy Hilfiger this, Tommy Hilfiger that. And I think it was on the Oprah Winfrey Show, don't hold me to that, but I remember it was a big to-do when it came out, oh, Tommy Hilfiger is prejudiced, he's a racist, he doesn't like black people, all because he made a statement that was something about, you know, that's not how he wanted his brand to be depicted, right? He wanted golfers in the upper echelon to wear his brand. He didn't want, like, the ratchet, so to speak, the lower, you know, people on the lower portion of the totem pole, how they were wearing it was not a true depiction of his brand. And so somehow or another, what he said was misconstrued. I'm going to say that, allegedly misconstrued. And he proceeded to explain himself on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Where the rumor got started again, I don't know. But I know he explained it on the Oprah Winfrey Show. So again, now that Oprah Winfrey's Tommy Hilfiger's kind of open to, you know, everybody, open to the public. I don't even know if people still wear Tommy Hilfiger, but what I'm saying is he knew exactly who he wanted to wear it, right? And then when he saw it was going a different direction, he didn't say no to the money, but he said no to the fact that he thought that it was diminishing his brand, right? So you want to make sure that you know, when you're branding, is this what I really want? Is this who I'm talking to? Is this who I want, you know, to be proud to wear it? Because you want to get to them first. You can't stop people. I mean, people got amendment rights, you know. They're like, we live in a free country. They could buy what they want, say what they want. But you want to make sure that your niche market, your target audience it definitely complements your brand and who you are. So definitely make sure that you invest in yourself. You invest in yourself again, knowing you, knowing who you are, what you're saying, who you're speaking to, so that when you go out, they know exactly what they're getting. They know exactly what they're getting. Then on top of that, you want to make sure that you brand everywhere. Like we were talking about McDonald's. I'm big on that. If McDonald's is still advertising during the Super Bowl, then you should be too. He says he spends about $55 on advertising, right? But his marketing is up to par. Everything else is up to par. Remember, he is a walking brand. He's on this show at the hospital. A walking brand. That's a testament to his brand. When he's in the hospital, he's literally, he said he didn't have on his jacket at that particular time, but when he does interviews, what does he have on? Branding, his jacket, his sponsors, right? When you go to his website, his branding is all over the place. When you see Business Bully, you know it's him because his logos, his branding is everywhere. So anytime you see this person, now that he's established and accomplished, and now that he has all these stellar references, the Wendy Williams Show, DJ Clue, Ricky Smiley, and so many more, Power 99, he doesn't have to do as much advertising. Why? Because he's put in the work. He's put in the work, but he branded the hell out of his brand. Literally, like he told you, you can go to his YouTube page and you'll understand him the way that I understand him, the way that Maurice understands him. We understand that this man literally used to send out pizzas and put his business card and all his memorabilia with it. Business card, people, USBs, we talked about that. He gave away USBs. He always had them on his person. He had his USBs. He would be passing them out. Now he doesn't have to do that because he put in the work. Very, very, very important to know who you are. It's very important to know who you're talking to. It's very important to know what you do. It's very important to brand yourself. I can't say that enough. Very, very important. Now, this advertising that he was talking about, okay, advertising isn't a big deal nowadays. Why do I say that? Why did he say that? Because of social media, that's why. Because of podcasting, that's why. Because you are your brand. You can get out here and talk to your networks, right? You don't have to advertise anymore. And advertisers, the agencies know this. You can do it yourself. Get on your own social media and talk about what it is you do, what it is you love, what you're passionate about, what you represent. Push your own stuff. Push your own songs, your own merchandise, your own content. You can do it via social media. But imagine getting on these platforms and have absolutely nothing to say or no continuity. You're all over the place. You don't know who, what you're talking about, and they don't know who you are. Why? Because one day you were the Business Bully, the next day you were somebody else, and the next day you were this, and the next day you were that, because you're just a replica of somebody else because you were out here instead of knowing, educating yourself. You're out here walking, you're a walking illiterate because you didn't know you. You didn't know your business. You didn't know your brand. You didn't know what you were doing. You didn't get with consultants. He is a consultant, a speaker. This is important. You've got to take these classes. You got to get these free downloads. You got to read. You got to educate yourself. That is so important, people. It is very, very important. I can go on for days. Why? Because I live this. I'm not only a celebrity consultant, but I live this. I've been doing this since the age of 8. I know that when I walk out that door, because I'm a former model, I can't just eat pizza all day. I got to look like a model. Why? Because people are going to hold me to task. They're going to look at me and say, hey, you know what? I don't believe in what you're saying anymore because you don't represent, you're not representative of what I know about you. So you got to take care of the inside and the outside. They call me all these wonderful names. Well, in most cases they do. All these wonderful names for a reason, because I'm normally a very just upbeat person, lover of life. You know, I'm always trying to just pour into people, you know, motivate people, love on people, and that's very, very important. So when I walk outside, I got to make sure I'm not bringing all this dirty laundry and all this baggage and stuff. I got to be what it is that I'm preaching. I got to be what it is that I'm teaching. I got to be what it is that I promote. And having said that, I'm going to go and talk to one of the people that I'm currently working with. I'm really, really proud, again, that he puts up with my crap. We have a lot of conversations. Definitely want to give him an applause. Come on in, Raymond. And Mr. Duncan, I'm not sure if you're there. I see a lot of people on the board. I don't want to just put you on Front Street because you didn't press the number one. But, Raymond, we're down to about our last 10 minutes. Do you have anything that you want to say regarding branding? And also give us your contact information because I want to make sure people go to your website and love on you because you know a lot about branding because I've been on your website.
Yes, hi. My name is Raymond Dickerson. I'm Raymond Dickerson's Command and Control. My website is raymonddickerson.com. That's RaymondDickerson.com. And the word for the day is alliteration. I'll explain that a little later as I talk. I'm the leader of the motivational. I write songs that's informational, inspirational, and informative. Let me repeat that one more time. Informational, inspirational, and insightful. I believe that you should approach any venture with commitment, conviction, and compassion. Now, back to the alliteration part. One thing I learned in the military, I was a military officer, retired as a lieutenant colonel, and we always talked about repetition is the key to retention. If you say build a wall enough times, you're going to get enough people behind you to elect you president. So I think the most important thing with alliterations, by the way, that's just using the same letter in succession to try to hammer a point across to someone, like the motivational music movement, informational, inspirational, insightful, commitment, conviction, and compassion. That's how I brand myself. That's how you identify me, with commitment, dedicated to my and loyal to what I'm seeking, conviction, I have a strong belief in my music, that's why I push it, and compassion, I care, and I love what I'm doing. And that's what I think any individual going into any venture should have to get to the next level.
All right. Wow. Duncan, Maurice, are you there? Yeah. All right. So let's have a conversation on Mr. Dickerson because I want to use these last 7 minutes up. So let's talk again. Let me make sure that I push Mr. Dave Anderson. I like saying that Anderson because I love the Matrix. But yeah, let me say this before I get back to our conversation. I apologize. Please make sure, again, that you go to his website. From his website, you can obtain a physical copy, a digital download of his book, and you can also get a free chapter. You can download a free chapter. There is, like I said, a digital download version, of course, is an ebook, but he will give you a free chapter if you go to the website. There, like I said, and it is just so much stuff to talk about, but choose your destiny is something I want to talk about. Choose your destiny. There's a chapter in there where you can take a sneak peek of a chapter that talks about exactly that, choosing your destiny. As we mentioned earlier in today's interview, this person actually used his life, his life, his examples. He was fired from like a lot of different jobs. He was fired from Power 99. Wendy Williams fired him. He was fired from a lot of different jobs. But one thing that happened that he mentioned, and please go to the YouTube video to, to find out more about what I'm talking about. Go to his YouTube page. Business Bully is his YouTube page. Just put in that Business Bully and Dave Anderson and you'll find him. But he talks about getting fired from, you know, a plethora of jobs. And Wendy Williams said to him, "You're too good for this." You know what I'm saying? She literally said that to him. And she wanted him to go out and really spread his wings and do things that was good for him. Now, Mr. Dickerson, He said a couple things. I want to talk to you about this real quick because I'm sure you can relate, being that you are former military. He talked about this thing called dumb jobs, right? And I want to use the military as an example only because you are a retired colonel. But dumb jobs. Okay, so I joined the military, right? And I joined the military. Dumb job is not that being a soldier is a dumb job. A dumb job is joining the military and getting a job just because I want money and I want to travel, right? I won't get a job in the military that is specific to my passion, specific to, you know, a job that I want when I get out, because you're not going to be in the military forever. And most people go in at 18, retire around 20 years or so, right? So you got from 38 to 60-something to fill up that space. So a dumb job is just going in, just getting a job because you want to be in the military, you want to travel, you want some money, you want to get your bills paid, you want free lodging, whatever, because they give you so much. You want all these things, but instead of, you know, you want to be a pilot, why wouldn't you join the military and get pilot training, you know, get all of the training, and also use your GI Bill, I think that's what they call it, right, and go to college,
right.
Do all these things and make it a smart job, not a dumb job. You know what I mean? Do what's right instead of what's easy. Do you want to expound on that?
Well, of course, when you join, you know, do anything, you got to, again, go back to, resort to my three C's. You got to be committed, you got to have conviction and compassion. Anything you do without those three components, it's going to be a dumb job. But in that position, once you get in a certain role, don't let the role define you. You define the role. So, okay, I'm in this position, so what can I do to better myself? Okay, I'm in here for 2 years. I'm in the military for 2 years. They got all these excellent benefits. So I can actually take courses to make myself better at what I want to do using the GI benefits while I'm here, so that when I get out of this dumb job, I will be in a better position. So, again, don't let the role define you. You define the role. You take advantage of all the opportunities given to you. And I should say that opportunity is not given, it's taken. So when you find yourself in a position where you don't want to be, you take an opportunity to advance yourself to get out of that position.
Right, exactly. And, again, you, if you'd like to – thank you for that answer, too. That was a good answer. If you'd like to find out more of what Mr. Anderson talked about regarding dumb jobs, you can definitely, like I said, go download the chapters of his book, go to the YouTube page, you know, just peruse his site to find out information, because that's very, very important. That will answer the question why you're miserable, because I remember when I worked with Les Brown, he said a lot of people have heart attacks on Mondays. Why? Because you go to these dumb jobs, these jobs that you absolutely hate, and then you wonder why you're miserable. You have to fuel your passion. You have to fuel your passion. So don't just take any job. Take a job that makes sense to you. And another point that he made that I really want to drive home is a lot of people laughed at him when he had a job working at the radio station, and one of his first jobs was he used to be like a runner, a production person, right? So that meant he made coffee, he ran errands, did all these things, probably worked in the mailroom, all these jobs that people don't want to do, and people would laugh, you know, like, hey, you know what? You don't, your job doesn't mount up to much. But while he was doing it, he stayed hungry. Like he said, he was young, he was cocky and hungry. He observed, he looked around, he was like, man, I'm looking, I'm learning. He networked with people, he learned the job. Why? So when a person got fired or a person was you know, couldn't come to work, who did they look to? The person, him, that coffee boy, that errand boy, you know, who people were laughing at, because he could fill a void. He could fill a void. So work in a good space. Work in good space. Work in places that make sense. Work in places that are part, you know, you will be proud to say, hey, that's part of my resume, because you're going to get there because you're working on it. Anytime you sow something, you're going to always reap a reward. So why not the reward that you want? Work, it doesn't matter what level you start at, even at McDonald's. You start at McDonald's, okay, have goals to own a franchise. That's feasible. I think it costs what Mr. Dickerson, what is it? McDonald's, a franchise cost what, about $250,000, $260,000, $270,000, something like that?
I don't know about the McDonald's, but I know it's trying in the Popeyes, and you got to have $1 million in assets down here just to open up
okay.
a Popeyes franchise. So
okay.
I can't give you the any information on McDonald's, but I do know what Popeyes costs, and I think McDonald's is roughly right around that also, but
yeah.
$800 to $1 million
yeah.
in assets. That's both liquid and property assets.
Gotcha. You're saying assets. Yeah, we were playing with words. playing with words today. So, guys, I guess the moral of the story today, and we'll end on this, the moral of today's story is write down these words and go and do your homework so you know how to use it to complement who you are and what you do. Would you agree with that, Mr. Dickerson?
Absolutely. Reading is fundamental. I learned it at a very young
yeah.
age.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember the comedian Eddie Griffin. He said reading is fundamental, and then he said, and then he pointed to his head, reading is for the mental. So, you know, it's very, very, very important that you read, because knowledge is only limited power. You got to read, and you got to know how to use what you read, what you learned. So definitely, Mr. Dickerson, go on and give out your contact information. I will again give out Mr. Anderson's information. Mr. Duncan is in the background. Guys, thank you so much for being in the chat room. I see you, Miss Andrea. I see you, Rhonda, Tia. I don't know why you guys didn't press the number one. I see a bunch of people. I think that's Michael Gay. I don't know, but I see a bunch of numbers. Thank you so much. I know I didn't promote because this is a pre-record. Merry Christmas to everybody. I'm going to play this again on Monday. If you're hearing this, I'm asked backwards. It's actually not Labor Day. What do you call this thing? It's actually Christmas Eve. There we go. Christmas Eve. Uh-oh, I got one person to push the button. Hold on, Mr. Raymond. 1 second. We got about 5 minutes. 323-328. I look at that. I impacted somebody. Your mic is live.
Good morning.
3338.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This
Good
is
morning.
Andre from California. Okay, you called me on
Hi.
The carpet, all right? So I kind of called in late, but I just want to say I want to thank your guests for being for calling in, for them being brave enough to come on your show. I thank your guests. So every time I listen in, I got to have pen and paper.
Right.
I don't want to miss anything. But the guest that you're on right now, I'm not sure what his background is, but I just want to wish him a happy new year to his family, and that may 2019 be his best year yet. Along with everybody on the line, please gravitate toward this. May 2019 be your best year yet in all areas of your life. And if your guest is on the line right now, my king.
Mr. Dickerson, I think she's talking to you.
Yes, I'm here.
Mr. Dickerson,
yes.
If you had
yes.
an opportunity to go back in time before whatever it is that happened, and you had an opportunity to do it all over again or change it, which one would you do?
Actually, I would always say this. I'm standing at the forefront of my parents' sacrifice. Everything that I am is all that they were. So I wouldn't change anything because I have their wisdom and their knowledge to move me forward to pass on to my kids. Their struggles and sacrifices are the things that made me the person that I am, that allowed me to attain the rank of Lieutenant Colonel in the United States Army, coming from a sharecropper and a maid. So my life has been blessed. They instilled the power of God in my life, and I strongly believe in my Christian belief. And like I said, I don't think there would be anything that I would change because I've had a charmed and blessed life.
That was an excellent answer. I appreciate you so much. Miss Valerie Denise Jones, let me just say, you rock and rule. You are off the
Thank
chain.
You.
And whatever
Thank
you're
you.
Doing, keep it up. And I ask that the ancestors and the people that even exist now on this plane, that whatever you need, whoever you need, what energy you need, that you continue to manifest it in all areas of your life in the new year and beyond.
Thank you
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Thank you so much. Yes, yes, yes. Well,
for
I
you and your
guests,
thank you.
Yes. Well, I hope you guys have a great rest of the day. Wow, we got a jam-packed week this week, definitely. We got the Mooney Twin, singular, the Mooney Twin. We got Hemp Day Live later on the day, Ebony Fire. Mr. Dickerson, we got a full schedule, full plate. I definitely want to take you on a journey. Yes, yes, yes. Definitely want to take you on a journey so that
so we can
do this and, like we said, do it right. Because we want to spend very little money advertising, making them rich, more money branding, making us rich, rich spiritually, emotionally, you know, financially, all of that. Because it's very, very important. So, guys, I think that's it. Merry, Merry Christmas to everybody. If you don't celebrate it, then happy holiday. And if you don't celebrate the holidays, then praise God you're alive today. I love you to life. I'm so thankful that you took out the time to listen to us, to learn. Again, I hope you had your pen, your paper, and your non-alcoholic libation, because that's important to stay hydrated. Keep that skin tight and young. So, please, please, please have a great rest of the day. I will definitely see you on the other side. To all my international listeners, I appreciate you guys so much. Everybody in the chat room, we love you to life. If you missed anything, please go to ValerieDeniseJones.com for details. ValerieDeniseJones.com for details. Media Fury does have its own page, MediaFuryRadio.com, in the name of branding. MediaFuryRadio.com does have its own page. So you can definitely go on over there, peruse that site, show some support. And eventually here in the very, very near future, Media Fury will have its own app as well as its own merchandise because we're doing it big in 2019. We're not going to stop for nothing. So I love what Miss James just said. She said, I rock and rule. I love that. I'm going to take that. Thank you so much, Miss James, for imparting that in my spirit. I wrote that down, rock and rule. Yes, yes, yes. Praise God. All right, guys, I am out of here. I hope you have a great rest of the day. A very, very happy holiday. Please, please, please be safe. Stay prayed up. Eat a lot, you know, and work it off. Hey, just be, shoot, do your thing. It's a holiday. It's just wild out, right? All right, guys. I love you guys so much. I appreciate your time. I'll see you on the other side. Blessings.
Media Fury Radio, hosted by Valerie Denise Jones, every Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. One furious hour of breaking news, exclusive interviews, behind-the-scenes first looks, and Hollywood's insane stories from the worlds of film, television, fashion, literature, and social media. Media Fury Radio, fast, furious, relevant media. Visit MediaFuryRadio.com for more details.
Throughout history, there's always been the same question. How come black people don't seem to get further on the economic scale? This is a question with multiple answers. First, comes slavery. Second, not knowing our history. And last, not sticking together. There's a beautiful African proverb that we unfortunately seem to forget. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. This quote still stands for today. If we as black people want to get higher on the economic ladder, so where do we start? Well, by supporting black-owned businesses. Money is not the solution to our problems, but a tool to build our own economy. The time is now to support black-owned businesses. Black Economic Network, where black-owned businesses come together.
Okay, good night.